I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I'm hot just like an oven, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller, and would you believe Jim Campbell's with me?
Hello.
Luke Moore is also here.
All right.
And it's the Friends of the Stars. It's Pete Donaldson.
Julio grabbed the limo?
Yeah.
Stretch.
There you go.
Yeah.
Terrible with lyrics. Absolutely abhorrent.
As you've proved.
What song is that from?
It's from Bruno Marsi's little song about getting funky.
You're a popular music DJ. You should be better than that.
Oh, we don't play Bruno Mars.
Oh, sorry.
Or Bruno Marsi.
I've got a Bruno Mars story. Do you want to hear my quick Bruno Mars story?
Very much so.
Far away.
I was once at V Festival behind a porter cabin, and he kept looking at me out of his blinds. And he couldn't have been looking at anyone else because I was just in the corner where people do a wee, and he was just looking at me because I had a funny T-shirt on, and he kept looking at it, and then he would grab other people and open the blinds and make people look at my T-shirt.
What was your T-shirt?
It was Keyboard Cat.
Oh, okay.
Hey, man, there's Keyboard Cat. Have you seen this? And then Paul will come over.
There's that guy who's friends with the stars.
Yeah.
Pete, had you been going to the gym?
What are you trying to say about Bruno Mars?
Nothing.
Oh.
You're saying you might look good.
Yeah. No. It was just
Bruno Mars
a
looks to me like the sort of man who could admire a human in all his forms.
Yeah.
Has this happened again since? Are you sure Bruno Mars isn't just following you around?
He could be. He could be in the next studio. You don't know. You just don't know.
You don't know.
We're going to plough on, presuming that he's not there. Jürgen Klopp will promote German non-alcoholic beer in England after signing a 4-year deal with Brewers Warsteiner.
Klopp said, "I am particularly pleased about this partnership because I associate the taste of Warsteiner with home. My grandparents owned a small brewery and I do enjoy a good beer."
Okay. That doesn't sound like a good beer to me.
No, it sounds like
it's confusing.
Utterly pointless beer, like an anti-beer.
Like the beer that Pete drank at Euro 2012.
Yeah, I mean, what
you've got
I would
imaginably
say,
drunk on.
It's
what
all about
say,
the placebo. If you want, I mean, they could have given me a much smaller fee.
Yeah.
And I've spoken about my non-alcoholic beer adventures. I've got to say, I didn't like the one in Kiev, but I love this one.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's all about Warsteiner.
But
it was perfect.
I am stunned they turned down that opportunity. I have to admit.
But we know it can have a placebo effect, so you get the feeling of being drunk, but you don't get the bad effects.
Marcus,
yeah, the health issues.
Is it fair to say that a large part of the popularity of this show is based on the placebo effect?
Tie it in. We could have tied
Let's not give our secret away. A mixture of that and Stockholm Syndrome.
We could have tied it in. We could have said, I'm Pete Donaldson of the Football Ramble, drink this non-alcoholic Warsteiner beer and you will not soak your Lisa mattress later on.
But you used all your...
We could just bring all the brands in together.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you could choose a manager to promote a particular product, what would you come up with, Jim?
I would like to see Steve Bruce starring as an anthropomorphic sofa in a DFS advert. DFS is a sort of like furniture showroom. But basically every bank holiday I have a massive sale, don't they? So I'd like to see Steve Bruce just... as a sofa, with his hands coming out of each
He is
each
sort of a sofa,
head,
more of
an
armchair.
And his face in the middle of it. No, it'd be massive.
Okay. A sofa massive. With a surprisingly good goals record.
Yeah, because Steve Bruce...
A sofa on penalties.
Yeah. In his later years, Steve Bruce just looks like a big comfy sofa, doesn't he?
You just want to sit on Steve Bruce.
No,
sit
I, just, on I Steve. Would like to see him advertising sofas going, oh, I'm telling you, like... This, you won't get a better deal on one of those L-shaped sofas this bank holiday. Honestly, come down, have a sit on us. I promise you, it'd be lovely. Really earnest.
Yeah.
Like. You won't get a better deal on me.
Yeah. come down. New Malden, Lakeside Thurrock.
Yeah. Right. Away. Sit away. Sit away.
And they'd be different sofas as well. He'd be done up in lots of different styles of sofa.
he'd hoover up your spare change as well, wouldn't he? He'd hoover up your spare change.
Oh, he would, absolutely, yeah.
Where'd you find that fiver? Down the back of Steve
down
Bruce.
The back of where's the remote? It's in Steve.
How come we don't have any crumbs down the side of this? Bruce takes care of that.
Yeah. Don't worry about that, Mike. Yeah.
That's what it lives on.
Hello, Bobby Robson. I'm a sofa now.
Oh. That's how it keeps its softness.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Luke?
I misread the question.
No, that was a strange answer.
Yeah, I misread the question because I thought it was a person from the world of football, not just manager.
Well, all right then.
Will you give me that? Can I have a pass?
Well, you can, but you're struggling to get the points here, but let's see what you come up with.
You've got to be here to win it. I don't mind.
Fair enough.
I feel like I'm 2-0 down with 20 minutes left, but I've still got the faith.
All right.
I've gone for Robert Huth.
He'll probably be a manager.
Endorsing granite.
Yeah, okay.
Or some sort of Santex paint or some particularly robust flooring.
Yeah.
To steal the phrase from, I think, Bill Shankly, possibly Bob Paisley, that man wasn't born, he was quarried.
Yeah.
So he should be endorsing granite.
So what would he do in his endorsement? Because I can imagine him running into it and it, I guess, not smashing, because you've got to prove that the granite's tough, right?
Yeah.
And also show that Huth is tough. So how do you do that?
I think what I would do is I would get him in the advert to take his shirt off.
Yeah.
And from a distance, it would look like skin.
Yeah.
Then the camera would zoom in and it would be skin-coloured granite.
Right, okay.
And that's
right.
What he's made of.
Well,
or you could have Huth going up to it and heading it, like he's going to head it away.
Yeah.
Or like when he planted that header against Spurs.
Yeah.
And Huth heads it and he just falls down. It's like not even Robert Huth's head can withstand
and
this.
And he's just bleeding and unconscious.
I wouldn't go into unnecessary detail.
He could have any sharp sand... slag.
That stuff.
Hoof slag.
Sandtex.
Hoof slag.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a product I can get behind.
I don't know what granite as a whole's marketing budget is.
Mm. Yeah.
But if they are in the market for an endorsement, I don't think they should look any further than that. Okay.
Isn't it weird someone
selling...
We'll
have to wait to hear from the board of granite.
Yeah. Isn't it weird, like, somebody selling a product that is granite? Like, you just dug that out of the floor, mate. We know where that came from. You didn't make it.
Yeah.
You don't own that.
It's like
you've
not
flavoured it.
Yeah,
it's not like a secret recipe, is it?
You dug it out of the ground and you sell it to me.
Are you going
to
sell clouds, Nick?
It's like, Paul McStay's clouds.
Actually, they're having fake clouds in the World Cup in Qatar.
They're not
they?
Having that.
Oh, mate, come on. Let's choose to believe everything that's
come on,
it.
Jim.
That was one of the stories. That's how they're going to keep the temperature down.
Yeah.
Artificial clouds.
And they said bad things weren't happening to the workers as well.
Gordon. Pelé said he didn't see any. But he liked the new airport.
Franz Beckenbauer. One of the things, speaking of that type of stuff about advertising granite, it's like when you ever see those adverts that are just for milk? It's not even for like, where you can buy milk. It's just like, drink more milk. Who's paying for that?
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah. It's the Milk Council of Great Britain.
Yeah, but something. Who's paying for them?
No, but they have them in America as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must got be milk. Some sort got of milk. Dairy
that's
board.
The one.
Again,
got milk.
We've touched on this many times, but that advert for UEFA that's on in the Champions League.
Who's advertising?
What's the point of it?
Yeah. Gazprom. Who buys Gazprom?
Oh, I love a bit of Gazprom, me. Sprinkle it on your chips.
On the UEFA thing, there was one particular run of adverts they did for a while, which was like, it featured players, and it was like, don't hassle the ref, get on with the game. Who are you advertising that to? None of us are playing with, like, UEFA refs.
Surely the main people are actually busy playing the game.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. So Robert Huth, Granite.
Yeah.
I was thinking Marmite for some
Kryptonite.
Reason. Mate. Yeah, there you go. Peter, what you got?
Max Allegri from Juventus.
Juventus, yeah.
Because Allegri means quick.
Right.
I was thinking he could have like a max power creatine powder.
Mm-hmm.
That's like just him working out and being quick and running around the gymnasium and stuff.
I like that.
I would sort that basically.
Yeah. If you want to zoom into the Champions League final, get a load of this.
With Max Power.
With Max Quick.
Yeah.
Max Quick's a good name.
That's
Max
very
quick.
Good name.
Like Nesquik.
Yeah.
Nesquik about my new thing after yogurt.
I've always been a huge fan of Nesquik. It's probably gone unreported on this show, but I'm a big fan of both banana and strawberry flavours.
Really?
How do you like the chocolate one?
I don't like chocolate milkshake, really. No, I
just
like,
want a confirmation.
I like chocolate, but I don't particularly like chocolate flavoured things.
Other flavours are available.
I like it when it crystallises in the bottom.
What other flavours are available?
I
think you can get vanilla as well.
Can you?
There's probably a Nesquik cafe now where you can get all kinds of stupid.
Talking of Max Quick, Jim, you're quite pleased that we're going to have a player called Max Power.
I'm delighted that we're going to have a player called Max Power.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I think we all missed that.
Well, he could do the Korean powder then.
Yeah, he could do. Yeah, there you are, you see.
He
could do the English.
Father and son.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could do the adverts on British television, whereas Allegri's got Italy and other places.
Hopefully they'll sign Trent Steele very soon.
Oh, yeah.
He could advertise speed. if they ever legalise it.
Well, yes, of course.
Interesting. If that does happen, presumably there will be adverts.
I
don't think if drugs get legalised, they'll be advertised.
Well, you wouldn't think Milk would have
America,
adverts.
Yeah,
you wouldn't think UEFA would have adverts. You wouldn't think Granite would have adverts.
Milk was never illegal, was it? That isn't. Oh, you didn't live through the summer of 1923?
Or the big
prohibition? Where everyone's bones went bendy?
Where I come from, they're living through the summer of 1923 every year. I tell you that.
They love their milk.
She nicked all the milk, didn't she?
Oh, for crying out loud.
And then she made some fake ice cream, didn't she?
She didn't nick the milk.
Well, that's why she nicked the milk.
No. Yeah. To use the idea to make ice cream, to make the chemical Mr. Whippy ice cream.
One for all the young listeners.
I was going to say, we're well off piste, but that's what we do, man.
Give it a Google.
That's what we do.
Give it a Google.
You've got a fast forward button if you're not enjoying this, don't you?
Already used it. 10 minutes ago.
Imagine that. Imagine if we had fast forward buttons. That'd be brilliant.
It's like, have you ever listened to the Mark Maron WTF podcast? I've never heard the start of that. I wait until a guest comes in, 25 minutes into the podcast, every single time.
We don't have a guest.
Dig?
No.
Rival podcast dig?
Yeah. Us podcasts should stick together, mate.
Sorry, Mark Maron, I'm sure you're gutted.
Stop advertising podcasts.
Is Mark Maron the one who basically has built a whole career on being turned down by Saturday Night Live?
Pretty much. Yeah. He interviewed Lorne Michaels last week. It was very interesting. Michaels was like,
stop advertising other podcasts.
I'm going to say my answer. Alan Pardew selling package holidays.
And why?
Because it would just work.
I suppose he's got the teeth for it and the tan.
Imagine him walking around.
I think he's more of a timeshare kind of guy.
Timeshare?
Yeah.
No.
I think there's a couple of summers in, 18 to 30s in which he includes himself left.
Yeah. So you're sitting at the bar, having a cocktail, looking around, surveying the people at the swimming pool and all that kind of stuff.
The 18 to 30s thing would be like when that comedian, who's clearly way too old, was advertising supporting Keep BBC Three Alive, which is like a youth channel. Mm. Who was it?
Russell Kane.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a guy who's like older than you think he is, apparently.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Russell Carnu.
Yeah, but he's something called him.
That's very good, Marcus.
No, that wasn't mine.
No, it wasn't.
Jim doesn't like it when people steal each other's jokes. And you shouldn't, Jim. But to be fair, I was saying it wasn't mine. It was somebody else's.
Mine. But to be fair to Russell Kane, he did do a lot of did do a lot of work on BBC Three.
Yeah.
Can I have an honourable mention for this answer?
Go for it.
For Russell Kane's podcast.
For Russell Kane's podcast.
For Russell Carnu.
Ron Atkinson just glugging down the reggae, going, oh, I love this stuff. I'm so sorry. Can I come back now?
Yeah.
If anything,
I like it more than the average person.
If
I've taken too much of it.
Yeah.
Do you take it? I don't think you take it, do you?
Most of the Atkinson just in the corner of his room, right, in his house, he sold all his stuff and he's just mainlining reggae sauce.
It would certainly explain his skin colour, to be quite frank. A man who's had too much reggae sauce.
Not even elderly gentlemen are spared on this show, I know. There's no quarter given to the pensioners, and why bloody should there be?
Especially when they're disgusting racists.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've got the points with Russell Carnew. No, I'm only joking. I think Jim, I like Steve Bruce as a sofa.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want that?
Jim, I'm disappointed not to win the points myself, but I can't sit here barefaced and be unhappy with that.
Take that mask off, mate.
Brucey's really won us the points.
Right, we really must talk about football at some point.
At some point.
But probably in about 10 minutes. let's go to the Premier League. Chelsea 3, Everton 3. What a blooming game.
Oh, brilliant. Great to see Abramovich in his free Champions League jacket. Did you see it? He's wearing like a free handout Champions League jacket.
Was he?
Oh. Yeah.
Reminding everybody.
Look after the pennies, Roman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's true. Mike Ashley's giving away jackets. If Newcastle win, they're giving away jackets.
Did, didn't he? Yeah.
Look after the pennies and the attacking midfielders look after themselves.
John Terry, eh?
What an afternoon.
Zero to hero.
One thing I would say about John Terry is he is, and I realise for Chelsea fans he's an absolute hero, but he is really good at being the villain. He's really good at it. Mm-hmm. Like, scoring the own goal... Putting everyone, it was like a football pullback and reveal.
Yeah.
Putting everyone in, laugh at me now. I'm going to score a backheel offside equaliser. Yeah.
That was, to be fair,
it's
to
a great
Terry,
finish.
It was a wonderful finish.
Yeah,
absolutely
beautiful.
Superb finish.
Yeah.
It was sort of the opposite of his own goal.
It was.
Because own goal was like a version of that he didn't mean.
It was a magnificent finish, and he was right to kind of jump nearly into the crowd because they've had such a differing season. It's funny, a friend of mine is a Chelsea fan. He goes every week or every other week when they're at home. And he said that actually, and I don't know whether this is Chelsea fans going, well, you know, we actually like being down here or whatever, but he said it is quite interesting because you don't know what you're going to get when you turn up every week.
Yeah.
And I suppose for them, they've recently seen their team win the league and all the rest of it. So, I mean, I'm sure other Chelsea fans will certainly not share that.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut in there, Luke, but I imagine most Chelsea fans know that this is temporary. There's no way they're just going to fall off into oblivion forever now, is there?
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't have thought so. But I really enjoyed Martinez after the game.
He's fuming.
Because of the offside equaliser, normally a manager will say stuff like... you know, I can't believe that the referees get this wrong at this level. It's not acceptable. The assistant referee wants to have a look at himself. All that type of stuff you expect. And Martin has just started off his post-match interview by going, anger. Pure anger. That's all he could say. Yeah.
He's such a nice man. Yeah. It's really disconcerting to hear him say that.
And he had like a bead of sweat on his head.
Oh, no. Yeah. A little falling down moment probably
What should be pointed out for Everton, though, is that... And I talk quite a lot, and I think maybe we talk about more broadly on the show, but I know I talk about quite a lot. I do talk a lot, and that's the only point I want to make.
Do some more.
We pride the individual and individualism in football, right? And never has that been more evident than when Funes Mori scored that goal. to go 3-2 up, right? If jumps into the crowd, makes it all about him, puts the time on the end of the game and they equalise. If you want to celebrate like that in that sort of self-aggrandising way and be the big swinging one, fine, but do it at the end of the game.
I think you're being harsh.
Don't do it now.
You're being harsh.
No, you've got to have some awareness about the situation.
No, it is, Marcus. That is the second incident this season where they've drawn a game 3-3 in the dying minutes of a game
away from home.
It's a big game away to the champions. Yes, they are the champions still.
Mate, learn from your mistakes.
No, come on. He scored in the last minute. He's dived into the crowd.
It wasn't the last minute, though, was it?
No, was it? Pete, you're up. You're with Jim, me there. Luke, enemies of football.
Oh, yeah!
Pete, I knew he'd come to my rescue.
At least we get to be mates with Rod Fanny. Yeah. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But Marcus, the point is not...
I understand what you mean.
I'm not saying don't celebrate a great goal. Don't celebrate a potential winner away from home against a good team. I'm not saying any of that stuff. What I'm saying is celebrate by all means. You can do that jump into the crowd stuff at the end of the game if you want. When it's won.
Nobody does that at the end of the game.
I think more than that, just like don't assume the game's finished.
Marcus and Pete.
So pumped
up. You know what I hate more than being silly and jumping in the crowd?
Luke Moore?
Doing that thing where you pick up the ball and go, heads on.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't doing that anyway.
Pete,
like,
Jim and I will fight you.
Oi, heads on.
Don't worry, Pete. I'll be right behind you.
You understand my point that, like,
I get it, but I agreed. And I made this point, I think, last season when Roma played Lazio in the Rome derby, of course, and they were 2-0 down, and they made it 2-1, and then 2-2, and Totti got the second, and the celebration was all about him, and he went over and took that selfie. Remember that? There was still about half an hour, 20 minutes of the game to go. Roma were chasing Juventus at the top
of the league.
That is criminal because you've only just equalised. You've got to go and get a winner, and there's still loads of the game to play. And Totti effectively took the stuffing out of Roma, and they just played to a pretty bland draw. This is a bit different.
The point I'm making, though, is that regardless of how over the top the celebration is, yeah, that's great, enjoy that, but just keep switched on for that final minute.
Yeah, of course, that's a different point you're making.
No, but it's not, because this is the second time they've forgotten that if they celebrate like maniacs for ages, the time on the clock doesn't run down, they switch off and they concede an equaliser.
I've got more evidence
it's
for
ridiculous
the prosecution
for that
here.
To happen once, let alone twice.
Completely, and not only that, if you look at it more broadly, look at it in context of the game and how the game finished, you have a situation where they're all celebrating to such an extent, there's such a relief, there's such a letting out of emotion, that actually they could have cleared that goal for John Terry three times and they didn't. And the reason they didn't is because they thought they'd already won the game. And the reason they thought they'd already won the game is because they let out so much emotion, so much energy and so much almost like a pressure valve being released that they didn't deal their job properly. There was three headers ahead of Terry's goal that they could have won. They didn't win any of them. And that's because they weren't switched on.
I don't think they should allow away fans to be on the bottom tier. Because a lot of grounds don't allow that, and Chelsea have won that because they put the Everton fans.
So it was a trap.
I think it was a trap.
So when they Funes Mori is a bit of a live wire. He might just climb up the stand.
So when
Funes
Mori
Chelsea fans dressed as Everton fans.
Yeah, maybe.
When Funes Mori scored,
same colour.
When he scored that goal, did Abramovich sit back in his seat and go, fell for that
conspiracy.
One?
Conspiracy.
I knew that would finally pay off 10 years later.
Obviously, making a murderer. I think you're onto something. Yeah, it's a conspiracy. Yeah.
I don't know. But what I would say is that if you put away fans at the top, the problems can occur.
Yeah.
But I was at Boca Juniors once. Now, I know that's pretty mental at the best of times.
But in most places, in most Premier League grounds, they're up top.
Someone nearly did a wee-wee on me.
They were doing wees, weren't they?
At the Emirates, they're in the bottom. They're down the corner.
They're always at the bottom, yeah.
Yeah. They're not always at the bottom, because at Millwall they're up at the top.
Yeah, they're in the one anomaly in England.
Millwall, they don't want any away fans.
Can I give the last word of this Chelsea-Everton game to Martinez, who finished that same interview by saying, the players do not deserve the feeling they're all sharing.
Oh.
What is that?
Disappointment, I guess.
Presumably, yeah. I mean, it was a
disappointment that they didn't do their jobs properly.
It was a great game.
It was
a wonderful game. It's Everton 2-0 up, and you thought, oh my goodness, and Chelsea come right back, and you think, oh, there it is. And then it was glorious.
It was more a great half, wasn't it? Because it was 0-0 at half time. Not that it would have been a particularly bad game up to that point, but it was a staggering second half. Diego Costa is trying again, and it makes such a difference. He's got that bustle back, and he's still really petulant and doing daft things that are, you know, hurting his team perhaps and maybe making him not as effective as he could be.
His finish wasn't petulant enough. He could have like got those knees and headed that in.
Yeah,
that
would have been class.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Kicked it in 2-1. And stamped on the ball behind the line.
just to pull one back, do that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
They should have played Stephen Naismith, Everton. He always scores against Chelsea, doesn't he?
He's had his head turned by the canaries. Sounds like it. Yeah. He's going to go in there and make sure they...
He's like an owl.
A worried miner.
It was
a brilliant game. And Everton, I know they've, a couple of times of late, they've had low scoring games, obviously, away to Manchester City, although they're not going to maybe score too many there. They just thought, right, hang on a minute. What do people want to see? Why are people talking about us this season? It's not because of clean sheets, because of goals.
Mm.
And they went for it.
Who, Everton?
Yeah.
They weren't thinking that. Oh, then we can't do anything at the back.
Well, maybe that is Martinez's thinking. As long as there's goals, he's happy.
Yeah, he probably is, and I'm happy as well. Jagielka was absolutely awful, by the way. Mm. I mean, I just... Any time an England player puts on a performance like that, I mean, I just fear for the... mindset.
Everyone trembling right now.
That was brilliant. You were really struggling to find something to care about.
I think the fear and
talking
set
about
in.
England.
I don't care. I'm just a bit scared.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. It was certainly a better game, though, than Liverpool and Manchester United.
Yeah.
Pull that on the telly, Super Sunday.
One goal on Super Sunday. Yeah. But it was Rooney again. Rooney. Yeah.
Is it four goals in four games?
I think it might be,
Imagine if he beats... who's got the record of scoring in every game?
Oh, Vardy.
Vardy, of course. Vardy.
Well, Lukaku went after close for a while. Imagine it was broken three times in one season.
oh, dearie me. We're going to talk more about Liverpool versus Manchester United after this.
so good. Very good. Very good. So good. Of course, apart from Rooney's finish, the best thing about that game and what was going on was Phil Jones having a lovely time in the way.
Yeah, brilliant. Gurning away.
Yeah, and Marcos Rojo was in there. Apparently,
Carrick too.
Yeah, I didn't see Carrick.
Carrick's that type of player. You don't notice him. You don't notice him.
playing in between the lines.
I can imagine.
In between the rows.
He was supporting. you don't notice him as a fan until he's not there.
Yeah, that's right.
Until he's not made the away trip.
How funny would it have been if Phil Jones was at the away end with everybody going, attack! Attack!
Yeah. It's strange, isn't it? It does feel like Van Gaal's gone, go on. Even our 12th man needs some help. Yeah. Get in there, make a difference.
Not even fight the fans, what they're doing.
Squad member.
Is he that much of a utility man?
They probably just went fan now. Yeah.
They probably just went, look, I'm seeing a wonderful game of football, Van Gaal is, but can someone just get in the stand and see what everyone else is seeing? Because I just can't figure it out.
I just like the idea that the three players that went in there made it look like Van Gaal thought the support needs some defensive strengthening. We're too gung-ho when it comes to fans. We need some solidity in there.
But do you think, though, if like, he said, get in there.
Possess.
What are they saying about me? Get in there and find out. And if it's not, then Phil Jones is putting on loads of different accents. I think he's a pretty good fan. I think he's a good manager.
I think he's a good manager too.
Argent non provocateurs.
All right, Gaffer, we'll go in there. Take the saxophone. I'm not taking the saxophone. Take the saxophone in there.
It's weird though. You never see players in the away end like that, do you?
Paul Dummett does it a bit. He goes to away matches sometimes when he wasn't playing, obviously.
Jordan Henderson does it as well for Sunderland, I think. When he goes to watch Sunderland play, he goes in the stands. They were in the League Cup final, weren't they? And I think I'm pretty sure he was...
But that's a final, though. But he's not on the books of that club.
Well, they're normally playing, aren't they, Marcus? That's why they can't go.
No, but I'm saying that they're on the books of the club. If Jordan Henderson wants to go and watch a football match in his spare time, then he's obviously free to do that.
I see what you mean, okay.
Because what if there was a bit of fisticuff? Phil Jones can't play because he, you know, got a coin in the eye or something.
They had, like, undercover FBI-type plants in the crowd to look after them in case they needed it.
Maybe.
But
I think
that
was Marcos Rojo went in there to protect them.
They're among friends, though, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
You'd think so. But it's not been a great season. They're not going to beat up Phil Jones.
How many times do you see a scrap at a Premier League?
You know, injury prone
Phil
Carrick
Jones
is
out for a month because Man United fans beat him up. there's a bit of a ruckus between two fans, or somebody threw something. Do you know what I mean?
Come on.
All right. I mean, I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that. I'm surprised
well,
there
you
wasn't.
You don't sound like you are.
Hey. Yeah. All right.
Old
fair
Green
enough.
Street Speller over there. Yeah. Loving it.
Come on. It was a good win for Manchester United, though. It wasn't a great game.
Liverpool were a better team, weren't they?
Yeah, they really were.
They did so well, didn't they, to keep David De Gea every week. Yeah. He is magnificent.
And now Real Madrid have made it even easier for them to keep him, which is a wonderful bit of news.
Can you imagine, though, if Manchester United had lost him? Yeah. I mean, it's been a poor season for them by their own lofty standards.
I saw.
But my goodness.
I saw camera shot of the bench during that game.
Well, there are some fans on there.
Sergio Romero just behind Van Gaal. I was like, oh yeah, Romero. I forgot about him.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's still there, isn't he?
God,
still
that didn't work out for him. He's the real victim.
It shows you how good De Gea is. You don't even think about any other keepers. Yeah.
What is going to happen with De Gea, though? Because obviously they can't sign him in the summer.
Well, he signed a new deal, didn't he? So yeah. I think he'll probably stay at Man United for a while.
He'll have to, won't he?
The plan was to swap him.
Incredible.
But they've got a decent keeper at the moment, Real Madrid, anyway, so that doesn't matter too much.
Yeah, actually, and he's done really well to replace Casillas and has become a sort of firm favourite with the fans, which is pretty tough going over,
the 3Fs
over there.
Yeah, that's it. I tell you, I thought Borthwick Jackson came on and did well because Darmian was getting killed down that side. Jordan Henderson missed a few chances, did he not?
Jordan Henderson likes a sort of double fist pump and a scream at nothing.
Yeah.
He's doing that a lot. I think that's his way of G-ing up the players.
Yeah. I think he's a natural captain, Henderson.
He is.
Although a while ago on Twitter I was saying that it's mad when you ever change a manager at a club, and in this case it's Liverpool, and you look at them under Klopp and you think, God, they haven't got anything there. They've only got four or five players that you'd rate. But and I actually missed off Henderson off my list. I think he's definitely a keeper for Liverpool. But other than him, Chan, one or two others.
I think Henderson's one of those players that drives a team forward, or at least tries to anyway. Which
I think he's captain material. Yeah,
which feeds into what you're saying.
The passing was off again. As we were saying when Liverpool and Arsenal played last week, both sides, the passing was really, really poor at stages. And it was the same again, actually. Liverpool were just misplacing so much. Something that really stood out for me, and I know it's unfair to compare these players, but Firmino has been brought in to play a similar role to Luis Suarez. That fluff late on, where he sort of thought he was offside, turned out not to be, and flapped at it and nothing came from it when he was just a yard away from goal with a free shot. Mm. I mean, that speaks volumes. That should have been 1-1 there,
wasn't it?
Suarez would have scored twice from that.
I thought Firmino did okay, actually. I didn't think he was that bad.
No, I mean, he scored two absolute belters against Arsenal. He's certainly got something to his game, but little moments like that, that's golden. Sure. Put that
I thought Liverpool's standout player was Sako, in my opinion. I thought he was excellent.
Actually, Toure and Sako.
Toure did okay as
although,
well.
Although, with that corner, when Fellaini, who didn't really do much, he's just
with his feet.
Yeah, he did a complete wrecking ball, and he comes in, and the ball comes in. He takes four players out. It's just sensational. I mean, he won't get an assist, obviously, because it hit the bar, but he almost should. You know,
you have players at set pieces who develop such a reputation for being either a nuisance or just ruthless that it almost like the idea of defending against them becomes as bad as actually defending against them.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And they just draw defenders to them like a magnet.
It was a great finish from Rooney. Now, obviously his goals would suggest that he's improved his... Well, he has improved his performance this season because he scored the goals. But his performance was still a little bit laboured at times. Do you think Rooney... I don't know, what do you reckon? There's obviously a bit of sharpness there because he scored. And he scored actually some nice goals. You know, look at the one against Newcastle, which was from open play. The flick at Old Trafford a couple of weeks ago, and then that one. Mm. Three different types of goal there.
I think he's going to score seven or eight between now and the end of the season, then score none in the Euros.
Well, well that's fine. That, that's definitely
that's probably what happened.
That's nailed on. But
you're right. Yeah,
I think the thing with Rooney is he's not a player to play up top. That's not how you get the best out of him, is that you have him just behind someone else. And you know, his link up play is very good, and he's always been someone who's been at his best when playing with others around him.
Yeah, he needs runners.
Yeah, absolutely. And Martial is, you know, he's very quick, he's very skillful, he's got a lot to his game, but he's still young. You know, he's having the typical good young player season. And when you compare him to the players Rooney's had around him in the past, it's going to affect his stats, isn't it? It's going to affect the passes he gets back and his assists and whatnot. And I think that's part of the problem, that they're just a little blunt at times, just through the circumstances of their personnel.
Yeah, very true, very true. One man who is certainly pushing a team forward and making them a lot sharper is Jonjo Shelvey.
This is so on message for the podcast, isn't it? The Premier League has done,
he was
done right by
first
us
half.
Here.
What a debut! Yeah.
My goodness,
that pass.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we were on the infamous Ramble WhatsApp group the match before against Man United. I think I'd love to see the Opta stats on how many times Daryl Yanmat waved in that match, because nobody could find him. He was unmarked all the time. And Jonjo was the only one who could
that
find him.
That pass has got its own aftershave range coming out of Christmas. Yeah.
Jonjo Shelvey.
That pass is guessing on the new Kendrick Lamar record. He's taken off an ambassadorial role at UNICEF.
How many of you have got written down?
It's got a blue plaque on a building in London.
Pete, which one was your favourite?
Second one, Kendrick Lamar.
First one was two great goals from Newcastle.
That seriously though, that pass was fantastic.
Second goal,
just the technique to strike like
but
that.
But he's bombing on all the time, Dalyama, and he doesn't always get an amazing amount of praise. But he's always in that position, and he's always unmarked. But like Colaccini's probably our best deliverer of the ball, and he can never find him.
Shelvey wants to play further up the pitch. He likes that, doesn't he? He likes running at not the defenders so much, but he likes charging forward with the ball. He certainly likes shooting.
Stops at the box though.
He
doesn't want to be in the box. He wants to shoot from outside.
To be fair, he knows where he should be and shouldn't.
Absolutely. That's definitely a strength of his game.
And he does shoot an awful lot, and sometimes his accuracy isn't there, but when he catches hold of him, my goodness. And the crowd kept telling him to shoot,
it's the same as when Teote used to play, when it was kind of like ironically telling Teote to have a shot after that one goal he scored against Arsenal in a million matches.
But what I was going to say about Shelvey is he wants to play that role further forward, but actually... And, you know, people have written a few pieces on this, that is Shelvey the man to replace Caballé? Because when he's getting the ball off the back four and actually starting moves, and so he's playing obviously a bit deeper, like a Trek Artista, if we want to use a slightly hipster word, is that not where he's best?
But Caballé wasn't really hanging back. He always had someone like Teote or Vernon Anita sort of hanging back.
Well,
he's ideal, because you've got the little ginger lad behind him now.
Colbeck.
And we don't have to play...
I was reminding myself, really.
and the listeners, I guess. But so we don't have to play Anita. We don't have to play Cech Teote, whose best years are behind him.
And that's the real success here, isn't it? That you don't have to play certain players.
That's the good thing with Shelvey, though. He is a tough player. So if he absolutely needs to, he can go and get the ball himself and then just drag it to where he would be. And actually, he looks so tough, and so does Mitrovic. This only struck me at the weekend, that those two players make Newcastle's kit look like a prison uniform. Watch out for next time they play. It's really weird. Shelvey in particular, but Mitrovic as well. And there's something about Mitrovic that's been, like, I've not been able to put my finger on, and it's that he looks like he'd be in a band like Panic at the Disco or Good Charlotte, a naughty band like that.
He's got eyeliner or a Ramen band.
He always looks like he's got no teeth. The way he shouts, he just looks like he's got a lizard mouth. I don't know. He's kind of like always a bit toothless, really strange. But like he, but I think talking about the signing, Jonjo Shelvey, like that's the first time Newcastle have bought a player from another Premier League club since 2011.
Wow!
And
wow.
That is indicative of we're just signing 21-year-olds from France and Belgium
it
and Holland.
It is the equivalent of when your dad drives over to France to get loads of rubbish little bottles of beer.
Stubby. My old man used to say that to me like, when I was about 15 when I wasn't technically allowed to be drinking. There's a stubby in the shed. It's only a little one.
There's a stubby in the shed. I'm sure a lot of kids have got stories like that.
Yeah. Now they've got like a proper keg of London Pride. Just that.
I want to make a point about Shelvey because I think I'm surprised that it's Newcastle that have done it, but it is possible sometimes for Premier League clubs to nip in and get good players and take advantage of situations. And I know Shelvey was about 12 million or something, wasn't he? Something like that. But the thing with Shelvey, if you look at his story at Swansea, clearly he got a move to Liverpool too early and it didn't really work out for him, and he went to Swansea. He did well. And we all know he's a great player. And we've talked about it a lot on the show. When he's on form, when he's motivated, he's great. Something happened at that club at Swansea, I can tell you that, because they were struggling.
Yeah.
They were struggling big time. And he came out of the side because he was suspended for a game. I can't remember. I think it was for 5 yellows, but I'm not sure on that. But he was suspended for 1 game.
Yeah.
The next game, he wasn't even in the squad. Mm. And they're struggling big time. About 6 weeks before he was suspended, he's playing for England.
Yeah.
So something's happened there. And Newcastle, ridiculously, have been shrewd enough to take advantage of it. Because I'm not being disrespectful.
If he was 26, they would never have gone for him. Yeah. But the point is, he's got massive resale value.
One thing he showed was that he can go in. He signed for them quite late on in the week. And he went in there
one training
away.
Session.
Yeah, and he looked
like their best player. And you could see the other players around him thinking, oh, let's just give the ball to this guy. Everything came through him.
The square passes he was just putting through to like someone like Mitrovic and stuff. Yeah. He's finding his feet every single time.
Yeah.
Who Mitrovic has everything going for him. Yeah. He is the new Alan Shearer, but he can't hit. A cow's ass of the
I love
banjo.
The fact that you love him. He's not the new Alan Shearer.
Yeah, he's the new Alan Shearer, but he's not got the skill that Alan Shearer's known for.
He's
also a man.
He's got the
he's
presence.
He's also a human man.
He's got the presence. He's got good heading ability. He just can't turn those heading that heading ability towards
the
goal.
He's a new Beethoven, but he can't play piano. He cannot play piano.
It's just, I love it a bit. I just think just get your shooting boots on. Yeah. Get some shooting practice down.
He's a new Ridley Scott. He knows nothing about films. He knows nothing about films.
Never watched a film. Never watched a film.
Yeah, but hey, Shelvey, hey, good time at Newcastle.
I'm just glad that me and you, Marcus, had a big old, I was going to say, we were sexually excited by his performance. Like earlier in the season, we love a bit of Shelvey, and I'm just glad that we might have an England player in Newcastle's ranks for the first time for 20 years.
Is Mitrovic the new Jimi Hendrix? He can't play guitar.
Have you got these written down?
No. I didn't know you were going to say that. This is straight off the dome piece.
Deary me. Marvellous stuff. What about Aston Villa? They got another point.
Incredible.
Oh. Against Leicester. Oh, Leicester.
What are you doing?
Mahrez has got to be taken off pens.
He has been.
Right,
it's
good.
It's official. It's happened.
It's too late.
When they got the penalties, you've been taken off pens.
Yeah, you'll be glad to hear that Mitrovic is the new Marty McFly and Doc Brown, so they can go back and change that.
Good, but he can't time travel.
Yeah, he has not got a DeLorean.
What about Mark Bung? I feel sorry for him. That save was magnificent.
Yeah. Oh, it was. It was a lovely effort from Vardy.
Two points on Aston Villa. One is when he made that save, tips it out, and Okazaki came in. There was no Villa player when they're about 15 yards. What are you trying? Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably, keeper would probably deal with that. Oh, yeah.
It's more like, this is going in. Save my energy.
Yeah. This normally happens around this sort of time. The second point is that I looked up the Opta stats on Aston Villa players, and given that they're up against it every week and they don't really get any of the ball and all this other stuff, they've got one player in the top 35 for tackles and two players in the top 60 for interceptions.
Yes.
And they might have got it the wrong way around, but it's basically that.
It's bad.
Yeah. And the two players are Idrissa Gueye and, is it Carlos Sanchez? He's another player.
I mean, you'd say that their league form bears those two stats out, wouldn't you, really?
Yeah, I was trying to find stats on distance travel, but I couldn't find them on that there internet. But because the reason I wanted to look for those three things, not to be too serious for a minute, is because if you're playing that badly, The things you haven't got an excuse for is working hard, tackling, and intercepting, and trying to intercept. And if you don't do any of those things, you deserve everything you get.
Well, it harks back to what we've been saying for a while now, that it seems that, and even now, I mean, I suppose results have picked up in the last couple of games, so maybe they are starting to heed it, that Villa didn't appreciate the situation they were in. They thought they'd be able to play their way out of it. That, you know, maybe a little bit of like, we're Aston Villa, there's no way we're going down. We're just having a little bit of a blip, and then we'll kick on. And they haven't, and I don't know, maybe it's now that they are starting to realise that they need to dig in and just go back to basics and sort it out. But it's much better for them. That's a great result, really.
Leicester got the best away record in the Premier League, I think. So it's a great.
Leicester didn't win that game? But I don't know.
Actually, Leicester's ascent and sort of Villa's demise actually started really when they played each other before, wasn't it?
Did you see Tim Sherwood on
Villa
the TV?
Villa 2-0 up and then lose 4-2.
I can't remember.
What was Sherwood saying? Like
Tim Sherwood was on Sky Sports the other day, right? I know, Kozak, the striker, has been injured. Libor Kozak. Tim Sherwood was on Sky Sports covering the Villa game, and Kozak came on the screen, and the presenter asked him. He went, "Well, to be honest, I don't really know much about him." What? You managed him the whole time he was there. He was playing
what
for him.
What on earth? Yeah, I thought he was a cleaner.
He wasn't. I didn't bother picking him. I didn't know he was a player. The other thing about Villa is that Randy Leonard clearly wants to sell the club, and now done for some time. That's not great. Secondly, I heard Tom Fox, I think he's the guy they approached. He was a commercial director at Arsenal, I think, and he went to Villa. And now he's, I think he might be chief executive, but he's some sort of role like that. He was on Five Live giving an interview, and he was basically, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, he was going, "Well, on the football side, you know, it's not great, is it?" It's like absolutely no leadership or vision or anything like that. It was very, very strange, and it doesn't surprise me to see him in terrible straits, given that that's the sort of guidance they're getting from the very top level. No, one man who wants to sell a club, the other one doesn't know what's going on.
And they're sitting on the football side. What other side is there, fella?
Yeah, exactly,
Have a word.
Oi, he's a good football man.
Yeah.
Ranieri set his team a target of 79 points for the season. He's changed his tune from 40. Yeah. Well, they've done that.
Yeah.
Right, now we want nearly another 40.
Imagine if they've gone over 40. He's like, right, we've got to lose every game and somehow get Dr. Point.
79! Only three teams have won the league with fewer than 79 points. He's after the league title. I remember this talk from Ranieri.
Well, it's a bit of a funny season in terms of what it's going to end up like in terms of points tallies for relegation and for winning and for top four, actually, because of the way people are taking points off each other. But a number of weeks ago when Leicester were on this run, we were saying on this show that at that point when they were top, if you doubled that points tally, it was exactly the halfway point after 19 games. Yeah. If you doubled that points tally, I don't think it would have won the league more than once or twice in the last 5 or 6 years. So it's very much up in the air.
As we said before, though, like they have, you know, they've stopped scoring as prolifically as they have, but they're not losing, are they? They're still getting points.
Yeah, true.
They're scoring in games, aren't they? I mean, look at this last one. They could have had two.
Marcus said they should have won against Villa.
They really
missed a penalty. They had another couple of chances as well. Yeah. They should have won that game. They should have put it to bed.
The worry now is that that will really do for Mahrez's confidence.
Very true. A good win for Bournemouth at home to Norwich, 3-0.
Norwich looked awful, by the way.
They did.
Defensively, very, very poor.
Bournemouth, not too shabby from them. They're 5 points off the relegation zone. A Fobe among the goals, which was nice to see. He's a good player. Wenger was full of praise for him, actually. Yeah. Obviously not that much, because he didn't pick him when he was at Arsenal. But it's good to see. And I'd love it if Bournemouth stayed up.
So I think they will.
I think everyone would, apart from the other teams that are down there.
I think they're certainly worse than them. And I think that'll be what keeps them up. But they seem to have adjusted now. Mm. You know, like winning games 3-0, that looked, you know, that looked well beyond them at the start.
Norwich, I don't want to take anything away from them, but Norwich gifted them stuff. I mean, it was bad. It was Villa bad. In terms of defensively, it was terrible. Mm. Yeah. I mean, before we move on from the Premier League, I wanted to make a point about Charlie Austin going to Southampton.
Oh, yes, of course.
Obviously, quite big news for the fee as well.
Yeah,
£4 million. I think he was running this contract down there, to be fair. But is Alan Pardew not signed him just to annoy Neil Warnock?
Well,
Crystal Palace haven't scored a goal in five games.
Pardew's going after.
And they've got no good strikers.
Pardew's going after Adebayor.
But why not go for both? Adebayor's on the free. And Adebayor's not a long-term solution.
No, that's true.
Mm. I think Charlie Austin's been sort of dogged by this talk of him being injury prone, but his injury record isn't that bad.
Mm. Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
He's played 89 times and scored 48 goals in the last 2.5 seasons.
It's a really, really good signing for Southampton. There's talk that Graziano Pella might move on this summer,
really? Okay.
And I think maybe they're sort of preparing for that. Yeah, Long as well. Shane Long linked with Liverpool today.
That'll please Liverpool fans. Yeah. That'll be up there with Kolka.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about English football and then go abroad after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Bristol City won. Actually, before I say that, let me remind you of the preview show sponsored by Bet365, which will be out on Friday morning. So get your downloads on that.
And if you listened to it last week, you would have heard our bet of the week, which is Sergio Aguero to score any time against Palace. Came in.
And he did, because Sergio loves charity.
Money for Prostate Cancer UK.
Thanks, so, Sergio.
You're doing a good thing just by listening to it.
Excellent stuff. Now, back to Bristol City. They beat Middlesbrough 1-0. The departure of Steve Cotterill has had an immediate impact. They've won a game.
Yeah, Middlesbrough haven't conceded a goal in about 3 years of football, have they? It's incredible.
Derby also lost 3-0 at home to Birmingham, which is a couple of lovely goals from Birmingham. Derby haven't had a great start to the year, but it's quite strange too.
I love like Steve Cotterill's last act is Bristol City.
Oh, when he was going mental at that fan.
Kind of crazy. Like, get the tunnel, Steve. No, I'm not finished. It's like a drunk uncle at a wedding.
It was
taxi's
very.
Here. I'm not finished. Yeah.
No, you've said your piece. Yeah. You know you're going. This can't. Yeah.
And he's just repeating himself.
Yeah.
You are making yourself. I want to get in it. I want to get in on it.
Oh, have a mega mix.
Yeah. At least take your tie off your head.
Steve.
Yeah, he's gone. Poor old Cottrell.
Not really poor old Cottrell. The man is a stain on the game.
Oh. Luke Moore.
Luke. That is outrageous.
From one stain to another.
Trust me, I'd know.
Yeah, he would do. How did he do at Portsmouth?
Don't want to talk about it.
All right.
Don't want to talk about
obviously,
it.
Obviously, okay. Hull thrashed Charlton 6-0. There were some great goals in that one as well, but troubling times for Charlton.
They're in a real bad state. They really are. It's terrible to see. And if you look at them, the current ownership and the interfering going on from the chairman, and Charlton fans are having protests against him and all sorts. I mean, it's worth reading into, actually. It's
10 league games without a win as well.
Because people go on about Blackpool and what went on there, and of course we had Portsmouth before that. There's all sorts going on. Bolton are going through the mill as well. These are historic important
Bolton clubs. Well, they've just been... they've had the courts extend their time to stump up with a cash resolution, at least.
I think with Charlton, that like people still remember how dreadful it all was in the 80s, so they're not getting quite as worried as they should be.
You disrespected them with that going for the old double Clive Mendonca that time.
Is that why?
Stain on podcast.
I'm just saying, every war has an Archduke Franz Ferdinand trigger event.
Catalyst.
I wouldn't say that was disrespectful. If anything, it was very respectful because he wanted to do it again.
But joking aside, Charlton are a historic club and an important club, and it's worth reading into and just raising awareness more generally if we can about this sort of stuff, because clearly the chairman needs to move on pretty sharply.
Yeah, Charlton and Bolton, two very important clubs indeed English football.
Charlton just got Jose Riga back in as manager. I think that would have been 5-0 the week before.
The merry-go-round.
There's all sorts of talk of the chairman wants to pick the team. He owns about four or five different clubs, Belgian guy. Yeah. And there's talk that he's trying to pick the team.
But they're shipping out players, like really important players for them and stuff. And
it's a mess.
It's a
How far does the merry-go-round go back? Will Pardew go back? That's what I want to know.
Well, I'll tell you what, when they had Kerbishley...
Pardew was there, wasn't he?
Those heady times. Kerbishley was certainly there.
Yeah.
The Newcastle song when they played Crystal Palace involved, he effed... West Ham, and he left you too.
And let's leave it there. Oh, thank goodness.
Nice to hear they've moved
on. I thought
you
were going to start saying people's names for a minute there. I thought, no, we can't. Brighton, they won a game. Hurrah. Big win for Houghton's men. Zamora, on his 35th birthday, earns them their first league win in eight.
That was important, a vital one.
I think
one.
They're back down in fifth now, aren't they? Brighton, the problem they have is they only look like scoring from like a rebound or a mistake from the opposition. They don't look like they're actually ever going to create anything themselves. They're fairly sturdy at the back, but they just they just lack everything in the final third.
They started off like an absolute train. Mind you, trains don't start off that fast. I don't know why I said that. They started off like a house on fire.
It's all about inertia, isn't it?
And then they had that result at home to Middlesbrough, which was their first defeat of the season. Middlesbrough looked really solid.
But the wheels fell off the burning house.
It did.
Is that right?
Yeah. Can I see your ticket, please? Oh, it's gone
it's
up
gone
in smoke.
Yeah, it's ash now.
But Blackburn did a very charitable thing to let them get their first win. But Jim, just on the way of them not creating chances and scoring, sometimes that's what you need to get out of them. Trust me, as a Pompey fan, sometimes that's what you need.
Jim, sometimes that's what you need. Sheffield Wednesday beat Leeds in the Yorkshire Derby.
That was odd.
Why was that odd?
Did you see the strange disallowed goal for Leeds? Steve Evans wasn't happy.
He's never happy.
No.
Actually, no, sometimes
unless
he
they're
is.
Winning when he's delighted. Unbearably so.
The story of the week with Steve Evans, and I don't know if this is true, but I read it, was that they couldn't find stuff like apparel.
Apparel.
I know what you're doing.
Apparel.
They couldn't find apparel big like enough medicine. For Steve Evans, so he had to basically buy his own clothes and sew Leeds United badges on them.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah.
He didn't do the sewing, did he?
I don't know.
I'm sure Giacomo did the sewing.
I refuse to believe that there's not some kind of running wear that he could have worn.
Well, I'm just not having it. Messenger. So our fine colleagues in the mainstream media told me that.
It's like you look at the modern football shirt. That's for very very thin people. And then the one that actually comes out on the shop in the Sports Direct and stuff, they're 10 times bigger.
But in just about every club shop I've been to at a stadium, they always have like a real like novelty. 5XL or 10XL shirt. They're massive. They go on a massive size.
In case Steve Evans turns up at the club.
So I reckon what Steve Evans should have to do is wear one of those with a bib so it doesn't get confused for a player.
Yeah, a bib.
Maybe that was the only one like that approached fitting and was too farcical for him to wear. But basically what happened was Sheffield Wednesday were making a sub. I think it was Forestieri was coming off.
Yeah.
And the ref just allowed Leeds to take a set piece while the sub was happening.
Oh, right.
And Leeds scored. But then I think the linesman was like, you just did that really mental thing? And they disallowed it.
Yeah.
So it was just very weird.
That referee's failed his adjudication on the KMIs, key match incidents by his assessor, no doubt.
That's it. Yeah.
He'll be down a league or two next week.
But it was a good win for Wednesday. They nip into the playoff spots.
They're doing well.
Before we go abroad, let's quickly go to League One, a Shrewsbury update. We've mentioned them a couple of times recently. They lost 7-1 and then won away to Championship side Cardiff in the Cup, which was obviously an impressive win. This weekend, or the weekend just gone, lost 3-0 at home to Barnsley, who moved up to 17th as a result. Such a weird
show. What are you going to get?
There we are. Good old Shrews. Right, let's go to the league. Real Madrid 5, Sporting Gijón 1.
Yeah, they were
4-0 up.
Yeah, no, they were
18 minutes.
5-0 up by half time, but they lost the second half. Are the wheels coming off for Zizou? Yeah.
Very true.
I mean, is he in danger?
In the running order, you've put Zizou looks the part and seems to have had an immediate impact. At home to Sporting Gijón as manager of Real Madrid.
Oi, he looks the part.
He's got a suit.
It's Zidane.
Yeah.
Because he looks the part.
He looks at home in a football stadium. Yeah. Wow.
He's the new
what
Shearer.
What insight.
Let's let them see behind the curtain too much. All right?
As I said earlier, you don't want to see how a sausage is made, do you?
never look in the kitchens of your favourite restaurant.
No.
Look, that
McDonald's is quite open. To
very open.
Scene,
right? Very open. The running order is just a springboard.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Go on then.
Stop leading the witness.
I think he looks immaculate. No, I think Zidane is the type of guy who people say, oh, would he make a good manager? He's quite quiet and so on. If Zidane tells you to do something, intense.
Are you a Zidane expert now because you once saw him at the dessert counter in a box?
I briefly met him.
You didn't meet him. You were in the same room.
I did.
As him.
I asked him for a photo.
What did he say?
He nodded.
Did he nut you?
He nodded.
He nodded. A pre-headbutt. A little warning of what could come if you asked him.
Are you
again?
The springboard for his managerial career?
Right,
possibly.
Dig out this picture. Why do you not know where that picture is? If I had a picture with Zidane, it would be tattooed onto my bot.
Maybe it is. Can I talk about Real Madrid
no,
here?
No, no. Let's get
this.
This
is way more
serious. I'm worried about your image. How you keep your images?
How I keep my images?
Yeah, where do you put them?
They're somewhere
safe.
Do you
sync them to the cloud?
Dropbox?
You should tattoo them all on your bum like Pete does.
They're in a drawer under my bed.
Is it in your Facebook?
Your Honour.
I want to see this picture.
It's not in...
Or it didn't happen.
Okay, fine.
Right.
We can do that after the show.
You said you asked for a picture of him. Please don't tell me you met Zidane and just took a picture of him. Oh, good.
Well, I did do that as well, as you know.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is on my Twitter somewhere.
I've actually found that very intrusive.
Right. Yeah. No, you said to me that was boring. I should have got more.
Oh, did I? I'll change my mind.
Oh, really? What, for the purposes of having a dig at me right now?
Was that a Champions League final?
It was.
I was in the crowd with the proper fans.
Well, yeah. Doing a Phil Jones.
Yeah. Gurney.
I was enjoying the risotto in the Adidas Lounge, as some of you will remember.
No Adidas vegetables. Lounge.
Sorry?
No vegetables in there.
There might well have been. If it's in a risotto,
you wouldn't have seen it.
Come on. There we are. Is that enough for 100 chat?
Yeah. I think we've really got to the crux of the issues.
I want to talk about Gary Neville and Valencia.
Yeah. Do you? All right.
And Negredo.
Should we mention that Barcelona won 6-0? I'll tell you what, right. Athletic Bilbao goalkeeper sent off after 3 minutes. Spanish teams love it, don't they? Hey, the keeper's been sent off. Let's score as many as we can.
No call to give. It's not like in the World Cup semi-final when Germany at half-time were like, let's not be mean here to Brazil. Doesn't happen in Spain.
Yeah, they still carried on and scored a couple more, didn't they?
Yeah, but I think they...
Mind you, Real Madrid, they stopped scoring at half-time.
Hey, Barcelona, you mean?
No, Real Madrid did.
Oh, okay, right.
So they were 5-0 up. But take a leaf out of Juventus. Or should you take a leaf out of Juve's book? Because they were 4-0 up at half-time. And I think they scored the third, was it? When the Udinese defender was sent off. Then took it easy. But then as a fan, you've paid for your ticket.
Exactly, yeah.
You don't want your team to just take it easy. You want to see goals, don't you?
That's what you mean.
I don't know, I'm conflicted.
I think it's a question of class.
The impression, Marcus, you'd be having this conversation with yourself if the rest of us weren't here.
I appreciate you being here for this conversation. Valencia 2, Rayo Vallecano 2.
What's your assessment of Gary Neville so far?
They were poor again.
They should have won that game, though. Alcacer had a goal they were wrongly chalked off.
Well, he did, but that was to equalise, though.
Yeah.
That equaliser that Negredo scored was the most out-of-the-blue goal I think I've seen all season.
Yeah.
Because Rayo were 1-0 up. And I should say that prior to the fixture, Rayo were 18th with a minus 22 goal difference.
It's funny.
This is a poor side. They went to Valencia. They were 1-0 up. They should have made it 2-0. They had a couple of good chances, should have put it away. And then out of nowhere, Negredo, the ball just dropped to him and he lobbed the keeper quite brilliantly from 45 yards. It's well worth having a look at that.
It's funny you're saying this now, because in the running order you've put Gary Neville looks the part and seems to have an immediate impact. changed your tune somewhat.
Yeah, well, there we go. He's picked up 4 draws from 6 games. He's won 3 Copa del Rey matches, so they're all right for the cup.
Specialist.
Yeah. All right for the cup.
Yeah.
But struggling in the league. And it would be really bad, wouldn't it, if Neville has a shocking time and gets them relegated or something like that.
I don't think he'll be there that long, will he? Will they let him do that? Possibly they will.
His contract is brief, isn't it?
He has to get a league win soon, otherwise the white hankies will be out.
Yeah. Well, there was booing, wasn't there?
There was a lot of
no
booing.
One's really sure who it was aimed at. But
probably the manager.
Probably Gary.
Was it at Burns?
Possibly. Burns,
Phil Neville's surely the fool guy. If anyone's a fool guy...
Neville's doing a great job. He's just tucked away in the background.
Yeah.
Well, sorry about me, brother.
Fire him.
You're right. How you doing? All right. That's just
generic accent we have for good footballing men. Right, let's move on to Italy, where in Serie A, Roma, they sacked Rudy Garcia and they've reappointed Luciano Spalletti, the bald chap who...
He was in Russia for a while, wasn't he?
He was at Zenit St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
When he won the league or the cup with them, whipped his top off in like minus 10
Ripped.
Degrees. Whipped.
Ripped, he was.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah.
For a man of his age, I mean.
Yeah, you know,
he's
totally
no Pete Donaldson, but he's up there.
There was snow at the side of the pitch, and there he was running around topless. Sort of thing you do, Pete.
Doth not care for snow.
And we like
but,
that.
By the way, if we're talking about the high bar being set for men in their football in their 40s being ripped, it's Clarence Seedorf.
Harvey Renard.
Have you seen Seedorf?
Have you seen Renard?
Yes.
More recently. I mean, Seedorf's great.
I'm going with
Seedorf
Clarence.
Seedorf in his 40s?
Yeah.
Of course he is, yeah.
Is he?
He played till he was about 50.
That's true. and he's turning the clock back, presumably.
Yeah, he's got younger.
Yeah. That's how good he is.
Yeah, shame to see Garcia go, but nice to see Spalletti back, see what he can...
Spalletti, Roma were great to watch under Spalletti.
Yeah, striker system.
You've put Spalletti...
Here we go,
Spalletti looks the part and appears to have an immediate impact.
Yeah. So Juventus are now two off the top.
Ten straight wins in the league.
Yeah. Absolutely standing. Napoli at top, right? Gonzalo Higuain now has 20 goals in 20 games in Serie A. And he's hit five braces in his last seven matches.
Wow. Yeah.
That's astounding.
Oh, we should also mention, by the way, managers getting their teams to perform above their place, perhaps, that Guidolin's gone to Swansea, ex-Udinese. Yeah, Udinese finishing third and all sorts in Serie A.
Yeah.
So that's a great coup for Swansea. Yeah. That was
What's interesting
today.
About that is that are they joint managers? It sort of looks a bit they might be.
There's a bit of confusion around who's picking the team and who isn't there?
Yeah.
Is it going to be like a Julian Evans? I'd love that.
I think that might be the last time we saw that in the Premier League.
Yeah, maybe. There's a couple at Salford City, aren't there, in the non-league. They're joint managers and they have been for some time and they're sort of non-league specialist managers together. Mm. But other than that, I can't think of any more.
Do they have to wear a big Steve Evans jacket?
Yeah, just one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a pantomime horse.
Yeah, sleeve each.
Before we go to highlights of the week, let's go to Russia. Recently emerged that a very well-known commentator on Russian TV has been suspended for falling asleep while commentating on a match in December. It was during Barcelona versus Bayer Leverkusen in the Champions League at the end of the first half.
That would improve 50% of UK-based commentators.
Yeah, it would. I like his name.
I would love to hear Clive Dilsley just babbling in his sleep.
Yeah. But that's what happened. He said, I can explain what happened in the match. For a few years, I've been suffering from chronic sleep disorder. It just so happened that at the end of the first half, I fell asleep and I was talking in my sleep. That is brilliant. Imagine if it was about football.
Yeah.
He just got football on the brain the whole time. He went on to say, naturally, it is very easy to understand that this is the case because in the second half, there were no problems at all. In the second half, I didn't talk in my sleep.
I love it. He's not embarrassed by it at all. He just explained what happened. What do you want?
If I have a 45-minute kip during the day, I'm fine after this.
Yeah. I mean, an hour and a half, that's all you need. You could have kipped in the break, surely.
Yeah. I don't think he chose to fall asleep, did he? He's got some sort of sleep condition.
You fell asleep in the first half. Yeah, but I was awake for the second.
Yeah. Look at my Opta sleeping stats.
He's
distance slept. Yeah,
sponsored by Lisa Mattresses.
I'll tell you, they get a lot of added value out of us.
I mean, they're also getting the image of me wetting the bed as well, to be fair. So.
Covered in yogurt.
Probably.
Yeah, he's quite an interesting character, this guy. Didn't he criticise like one of the main sort of football anchors in Russia
a little while ago.
I think an actual anchor, and he said that she knows nothing about what she's talking about and blah, blah, blah. And she responded by calling him a fatso, apparently.
There's a lot of that about at the moment.
Things are different out there. Yeah, there is a lot of it out there.
Oh, dear.
Most of it on Twitter aimed at Neil Custis, who is taking it on the chins, to be fair to him.
He doesn't care, does he?
No. It's the best thing that's ever happened to him.
I really get pained.
It's annoying.
He's the guy that Louis Van Gaal said that called him a fat man.
It's annoying to me because up until that point, I was relatively unaware of his existence. And now he just seems to be infiltrated in our lives like a croissant.
Croissants infiltrated your life?
I can see from here that they are.
He could have said ninja.
He was eating croissants on TV, that's what I said.
Now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Croissants!
What was your highlight?
I thought I'd get this one in to show that I'm fair and balanced and not at all biased against Southampton. Max Griffin says, I'm really glad that Luke Moore decided to give Southampton's terrible form a little mensch on the pod last week. Since then, we've had two wins, two clean sheets and signed Charlie Austin. hashtag good luck charm. That's backfired on me. Rob Nugent says, it has to be that AC Milan, are being taken to court over youth player Youssoufa Yaffa, who claimed to have been 19, was playing for Milan's under-19s, but was actually shown to be 28 years old. Hashtag Taribo West 2.0.
Yep.
I've got one more Facebook comment and two more emails. I'll try and get through them as quick as I can. Michael Park says, in the snow at Rugby Park, which is home to Kilmarnock, as you all know, on Saturday, they sent a tractor on at half-time to clear the penalty areas. It was so slow that the ground staff had to run over and clear the other box with shovels. After comprehensively beating the tractor, they were roundly cheered off the park while the tractor continued to receive a chorus of boos.
That's booze, cool.
As in boo, not as in drinks.
Yeah, that's good.
Magnificent.
Right, I've got a Mark Lawrence related email here and a medieval weaponry related email. Which one do you
want?
Lovely.
Just give us a both.
Okay, right. This is from Matt in Wimbledon. He says, hi, Luke. My slightly football related highlight of the week actually arose during my commute while I was watching an FA Cup special of Pointless on iPlayer. He said, luckily, there was no Robbie Savage, but the misery merchant that is Mark Lawrence was present. When asked to introduce himself, Lauro introduced himself as a retired genius. to emphasise this, the first round asked the contestants to name a country beginning with A, M, S or T. Relatively simple, you might think. However, the retired genius, looking particularly delighted with himself, answered with Alaska.
Excellent.
And as such, had to immediately go home.
Brilliant. He's not coming out of retirement, is he?
No, that's from Matt in Wimbledon. Right, now this one is from Tom Ibbotson. He says, "Dear Ramblers, listening to last week's ramble, I was disheartened hearing the email sent in to you regarding your conversation about medieval siege weaponry. As a medieval history,
run and run, isn't it?
As a medieval, hopefully, as a medieval history master's student specialising in warfare, I was thrilled that such a topic was brought up in two successive weeks in what was definitely a brace of highlights for me. However, I feel like I am almost qualified enough to add some amendments that would hopefully put this matter to rest. Settle in.
Yeah.
Firstly, I would like to discredit the sender of last week's email. Beef. Medieval weaponry.
Get your messes out.
As you rightly pointed out, he did not expand on his point nor provide any evidence to support his claims, which is shoddy historical discourse and unacceptable for someone aspiring to be the Ramble's official military historian.
I think we found a new military historian, guys.
Well, wait and see. Right. To clarify, a trebuchet does use a counterweight.
Yes.
A catapult is the one with the spoon-looking mechanism and uses a winch system, and a ballista is the bow and arrow-shaped one that Luke mentioned would have usually launched a spear, like in the beginning of a Gladiator. I hope this helps, and if you do require an official Ramble historian, I would gladly wear that mantle with pride. All the best, Tom Ibbotson. P.S. I've attached a picture of some of my books on this topic that will hopefully give my claims a show of legitimacy.
Wow.
And he has actually attached pictures of books.
Amazing.
Yeah, can't beat that.
Tom Ibbotson, new medieval weaponry expert.
I think so. Put it in your Twitter bio.
Google his name. Buy his books.
Yeah. Are we going to make sure that the other lads had his history wiped?
I can't remember his name, but I want him to come in.
He's got the right to reply.
He has. It's out there.
They've always got the right to reply.
Oh, what an exciting scrap this is going
to
be.
But they don't have the right to have their email read out on the show.
We've changed the name to the Medieval Siege Weaponry Ramble.
I've got an email.
Here we go.
Okay.
I never read out an email on a Monday, but goodness me, this is right up my strata. From a man by the name of Matt. Hello, Matt.
Does he want to be named, even just his first name?
I think it's going to be fine, because we're going to have to bleep a lot in this email.
Okay, right.
All right.
Is it testicle, Matt?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, it's certainly of below the belt, this email.
Good luck.
All right, yeah. Okay. Hello from Sydney. So I met a girl last...
Actually, it was called Matt.
Hello from Sydney. Shut up.
Very good.
Not good. You don't say very good for everything when it's not good. It's not allowed.
Sorry, I'll keep quiet now.
Right.
Excellent, Luke.
Hello from Sydney. So I met a girl last Sunday who just came back from a trip around Europe where she was working on a mega yacht in... Keeping in mind, this girl was not into football at all, so she had no bias towards or against any teams. That must have been amazing, I said to her. No, it was awful. The yacht I was working on was owned by this old man who had a very strange fetish for poo.
Uh-oh.
Me and the other crew members would often find poos lying in sometimes hidden and sometimes open places. Let me read the email.
She's looking for them.
For instance... You would walk into the bathroom and there would be a poo in the sink, or you would be walking along a corridor and you could spot a poo lying in the middle of it from metres away.
Are we jobby?
Other times, he would just poo his trousers and leave them lying in a random place. He wasn't senile or otherwise disabled. He just did it for the thrill. He'd have a different woman in his room most nights, and when I went to his room to clean it in the morning, there would be a poo covering the sheets. Not just little bits of poo, loads of poo. It would look like a big pooey crime scene. So, and he asks his friend, Jesus, who was this guy? What does he do and how did he get his money, I asked. She replied, I'm really not sure. All I know is that he owns a football club in... I showed him a picture of... That's him, she replied, a shiver going down her spine as she spoke. Can you imagine the chants and songs from rival clubs if they only knew? Now, the listeners at home... We'll not have heard that.
Hang on. He's not is he?
That's got to be bleeped as well.
Is it?
Oh, idiot. Right?
Smoke screen.
Yeah.
So we can't do anything like that.
Basically, there's a person in football that does that kind of thing.
Wow.
All right?
Fantastic.
That is absolutely...
That is astounding.
That's up there when we leaked that Keys and Gray video.
That's more provable, that one, though, isn't it?
Can I just say for legal...
That's hard evidence.
Richard Keys did threaten to sue us for that. We've not heard anything yet.
No,
he's got no grounds, but just for the record, he's not related to this story anyway.
No. It's not Richard Keys or Andy Gray.
No.
I'm sure they don't yawn yachts.
Yeah. But I hope not, anyway.
But if they did, there'd be not poo on the floor.
Yeah. Let's go to a website round.
I had a highlight of the week, but I don't think...
That's no point
now.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm going to bother
with it. Tommy has been blown out of the water.
Yeah.
Literally, by the sound of it.
My word.
Talk of jobbies on boats. Jobbies on boats with Pete Donaldson.
Yeah. Should we do a website roundup?
Go on, then, Jim.
It's only fair to the always excellent Kelly Roy.
Indeed. So, on the footballramble.com this week, you can see the disturbing footage that has nothing to do with that story that put pay to any hope of Shola Amiobi receiving his long-awaited OBE, Gary Neville channeling Sir Alex from the Mestalla bench, Lionel Messi effortlessly outclassing Cristiano Ronaldo yet again, and Star Wars Admiral Akbar offering some useful relationship advice to Nantes FC's Alejandro Bedoya. Follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells. It's definitely not a trap. Get over there for the always excellent Kelly Wells.
Hey. Nice for a mention of Admiral Akbar. Enjoy
always. That was, not a trap, as you say, Jim.
It's a tarp.
As Kelly said.
It's a jobby. Yeah. Luke,
we got some news, haven't we, Luke?
We've got some news.
I'm just still thinking about the yacht thing. Yeah. news. So we're delighted to announce that we've got three more live rambles coming up, live shows in the cities of London, Newcastle, and Birmingham.
Where's the middle one?
The Newcastle, Pete. We're coming home, Pete.
I'm gonna mess up that hotel room, to be chronic.
Pete obviously is interested in that because he's from Hartlepool.
Hang on, did you work that out beforehand?
What?
That little joke.
That you're from Hartlepool.
Okay, that was just a double D.
I used to be in a boy band.
Synergy, mate. Creativity. Yeah. Stick around after, but I'll tell you how we did it.
Luke appeared and made an immediate impact.
Didn't look the part.
Yeah. Oi, come on. The three shows, like I say, London, Birmingham, Newcastle, they're going to take place in the month of April. And if you tune in next week on next week's Monday show, we'll give you some more information about how you can buy tickets. Generally, London, Newcastle, Birmingham, April.
England's first, second and third cities.
Exactly, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Marvellous. Any more? Are we done? I think we are.
We're out.
Excellent. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. The website is, of course, thefootballramble.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram and all the rest of it. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me, Jobby.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.